Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Center for Immigration Studies is reporting new data from the Census Bureau and the Bureau of Labor Statistics show that U.S. illegal immigration population in the United States has surged 10%, growing from 10.2 million to 11.6 million under the leadership of President Biden. Four people were killed in Tulsa, Oklahoma Wednesday after a gunman who was later found dead opened fire at the Natalie Medical Building on the campus of St. Francis Hospital. Tulsa Police Deputy Chief Eric Douglish.
We have four civilians that are dead. We have one shooter that is dead. And right now, we believe that is self-inflicted.
After more than two decades as a Silicon Valley power player, Sheryl Sandberg, Chief Operating Officer at Meta, also known as Facebook, is stepping down. USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
President Biden has pledged to send Ukraine more advanced rocket systems and munitions to more precisely strike key targets on the battlefield. The White House had been hesitant to send more weapons, which have long been requested by Kyiv. The Biden administration will send the systems as part of a new $700 million military aid package for Ukraine. A ruling has been made in Michigan politics.
One Michigan GOP gubernatorial hopeful lost a key ballot ruling on Wednesday. The ruling affects Perry Johnson, a businessman considered to be a leading candidate for the GOP nomination. The decision could also apply to three other candidates, including former Detroit Police Chief James Craig, who's also been scratched from the GOP ballot over invalid signatures. Five other candidates are on the ballot. The winner will face Governor Gretchen Whitmer in November. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
USA Radio News.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Shock and sadness filled social media as the news of Marion Barber's death spread Wednesday evening. The former Dallas Cowboys running back would have been 39 on June 10th. He was found north of Dallas in Frisco, Texas, at his apartment. Police were sent there on a welfare check. The investigation into his death continues. A hot air balloon crashed in Burlington, Wisconsin, Wednesday, hitting a train, according to officials and witnesses. A photo from a witness showed the balloon missing its basket, tangled in power lines. Two people were airlifted by Flight for Life to local hospitals. The billions of dollars and massive amounts of weaponry President Biden has promised to President Zelensky of Ukraine in his fight against the Russians is leading to a situation that draws parallels to Vietnam. Representative Tim Burchett on Newsmax.
It's just beyond me that this amount of money that we don't even have, which we're borrowing from the Chinese, which they all intelligence tells us that's where our next conflicts are going to be involving. So it raises a lot of questions, and this reminds me of very parallels to Vietnam, if you remember our short history there. I mean, our short memory of that. We sent money. They stole some of it. We sent some armament in there. They couldn't handle it. We sent advisors in, and then we sent troops in, and then they sent body bags home of American soldiers. And I just, this further inclement towards war, to me, is a very, very serious issue.
Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop, hey, what's that sound?
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezShow.com. Katie Taleno is with us, the Executive Director of Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries. Katie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Bill.
Well, good to have you here to talk about some good news, and that is that the Independent Healthcare Sharing Accreditation Board has been announced. Tell us about that.
Yes, we're so excited, and we're really celebrating the fact that finally people in the public, regulators, policymakers, folks are going to be able to really have confidence in healthcare sharing ministries when they choose them, because they're now going to be independently accredited. And that's been important because, you know, if you don't police yourself, you invite government policing. And there have been some bad actors in the healthcare sharing ministry space. They weren't actually healthcare sharing ministries. They were posing as healthcare sharing ministries. They're actually for-profit or non-profit front groups of for-profit bad actors. But, you know, how is a consumer to know the difference, right? And we hear that question a lot. And it's so important that when you join a community of like-minded religious believers to share in the most important bills you're ever going to get, you know, it's really important that you trust that community and that you know that you're putting your hands in people who love Jesus and who love you and who are doing it for the right reasons and doing it the right way.
Katie, we know by experience, and I know personally, healthcare sharing ministries has just been vital to communities. And for those that have, been promoters of God's love and light in the healthcare arena, this has just been awesome. I mean, it has truly been a godsend. So for the Alliance to come together and to protect the integrity of healthcare sharing ministries, to make sure people of like mind, people of faith, that they're getting and supporting that which is consistent with godly values, right?
That's right. I mean, this is, in some states, a healthcare sharing ministry is the only pro-life option for managing your healthcare costs, depending on the state. But it definitely, you know, it's a pro-life solution. It's a pro-Jesus solution. But more importantly, it's, you know, we think it's how Christians do things. We bear one another's burdens, and we do this in education. I think of healthcare sharing ministries kind of like a homeschool co-op for healthcare. Where it's a co-op, right? And, you know, a lot of times government, they don't understand this. If you're outside of a faith community, you're unfamiliar with it, it's foreign to you, then it seems like a really risky scheme, kind of the way maybe a homeschool co-op would seem like a risky scheme for putting your kids' education into. But, you know, we know inside the faith community that there's no safer place. And you know, when a pregnant woman is gives birth to a baby, she can bank on the fact that there are going to be 5 casseroles delivered to her house in the next week. I mean, that is, you can take that to the bank. And the same thing is true for healthcare sharing ministries and homeschool co-ops and all the things that Christians do together, whether it's a natural disaster or after a school shooting, God forbid. You know, when horrible things happen, when difficult things happen, the Christian community is there, and they're usually the first and the last to be there. And this is no different. But lots of times people don't know, and they don't know which one to choose, and they don't know, you know, there's a lot out there, and some of them aren't religiously motivated, and some of them don't have decades and decades of sharing successfully, and so it's hard to know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You've touched on this a little bit, Katie, but I want you to expand a little bit more about healthcare sharing ministries, what they're about and how they work.
Sure. So they're communities of believers that agree to live by a certain set of principles and, to, you know, committing to healthy decisions and healthy living. But also when a catastrophic bill happens, when a bill that's more than, you know, a normal person could afford easily comes to your door, you upload that bill. And the community looks at it, and the ministry will say, hey, is this service consistent with our guidelines? You know, is it not an abortion, right? Is it not certain mm-hmm. things that we would violate our consciences? And so if it's eligible for sharing, then that bill gets assigned to other members in the community, and the member in need receives money from those other members. So either a check is sent or electronic transfer is made, or sometimes the ministry, depending, they're each a little different. Sometimes the ministry actually has the members send money directly to the doctor and or to the hospital. So you can go to any doctor you want or any hospital you want, and when that bill comes, you upload it to the ministry. That's how it works. And, you know, it works pretty well most of the time. I mean, it's really reliable.
Right. The other thing, Katie, that I like about healthcare sharing ministries is the fact that you've now engaged people, around the country, in some cases around the world, who are praying on your behalf. And when you bring God into the situation like this, that is, I know sometimes when you're looking at maybe a $20,000 medical bill, in some cases larger, I've seen, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, it can be so overwhelming. But when you have so many people who are not only investing their natural resources, but their spiritual resources, and on their knees on your behalf to the Father, wow. I mean, this is a powerful force that our government does not understand, certainly the way it is acting right now, as it has clearly turned its back at God, and what you mentioned earlier, the government looks at healthcare as a one-size-fits-all. I mean, this is really a very customized, spiritual, godly approach to healthcare, isn't it?
It really is. A lot of times, you know, government policymakers and regulators and others, they get confused and they think that this is just some sort of weird, cheap insurance, right? It's some risky scheme, but it's really just unregulated insurance. We got to shut those guys down. That's what we hear a lot. But it's a totally different animal, right? This is totally different. Healthcare is the most intimate, most important service that you will consume in your entire life. It's the most important one. And the idea that it should be only in the hands of some cold for-profit bureaucracy managed out of Wall Street, it's crazy. I mean, we need our brothers and sisters praying for us in those times when we're getting healthcare, even small stuff. Small stuff can go bad. Small stuff can be signs of bigger stuff. You know, we need it all. We need those prayers coming to each family in each ministry across the country. And as you said, across the globe, we have missionaries, we have expats living abroad. We're not dependent on some insurance contracts or networks that, you know, are only in America. So we have people who are overseas smuggling Bibles into who knows where. And when they go get health care, they can upload their bill just like you do in Topeka, Kansas.
And that is so cool because, you know, for those who are not called directly to the mission field, this is a way to co-labor with missionaries in a very, as you say, a very personal and effective way, especially when we're talking about healthcare, right?
Exactly right. It is truly a community. You know, it's funny, sometimes insurance companies, like let's say that you have an insurance policy and the policy doesn't cover a certain thing. It doesn't cover a certain procedure. There's no way you can just sort of appeal to the insurance company's, you know, better angels and, and ask for extra help, right?
Right.
But with healthcare sharing ministries, there are some things that might not be shareable, whether it's over a certain amount or whether it's, you know, maybe it's for a condition that that occurred before you enrolled. And so, but it's still bothering you. And so maybe it's not shareable for whatever reason, or maybe it's for a person who isn't even enrolled, but a person in your family. You have some extra need that's outside the normal sharing procedures. You can actually submit those needs too.
Exactly. Got to go to break. We've got more from Katie after this. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the home security hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-459-9156. 800-459-9156. 800-459-9156. That's 800-459-9156. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us. Katie Taleno continues with us, the Executive Director of Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries. We're talking about healthcare sharing ministries and the new announcement that now there is going to be better accountability so that when you get involved with the healthcare sharing ministry, there is a healthcare sharing accreditation board that is an oversight to make sure that God is glorified. and that Christians can have a more concrete sense that they are participating with a healthcare sharing organization that is consistent with their religious values and aspirations. Katie, healthcare sharing ministries, when I have been receiving their notices and their information on a monthly basis, the stories that abound in these documents are just unbelievable. Can you tell some stories here and share some just incredible successes? Because sometimes that really brings to mind, the power and, the effectiveness of healthcare sharing.
Sure. I'll give you an example. We had a family in one of them who was members of one of the ministries in the Alliance, and they had a 14-year-old son who had a very serious problem with his foot. It was some sort of rare, bizarre condition. And the only available treatment was this unapproved experimental treatment. Now, if you had gone to an insurance company, that would not be approved. You can't get some crazy experimental treatment approved. But his doctor thought that maybe this experimental treatment would work. And so it cost a ton of money, of course. But he was going to lose his leg. And they submitted the bill. They talked to the ministry. They submitted the bill. And it was shared in full because there aren't requirements that, an insurance company is the one that sets the rules. You can have alternative treatments. You can have complementary medicine. You can have experimental treatments. If your doctor thinks it's right and that it's medically necessary, that is that's allowable. And that boy has his foot today. We also have experiences of during COVID, a lot of insurance companies, they made bank, right? People weren't going to get healthcare, but they were still paying their premiums every month. And insurance companies, especially the publicly traded ones, they did really well. Well, healthcare sharing ministries, that's not our money, right? We're ministries, we're nonprofits, and it's really about stewardship. So, one of our ministries during COVID, they sent checks for $100 back to every single member because they're good stewards. It's not their money.
Yes.
If people aren't using that money, then, they shouldn't hold on to it. So, so that's an example. I love an example also is whenever a member in one of our ministries passes away, the ministry staff get on a plane and fly to the funeral to deliver a check for help and sharing in the funeral expenses to the family. It's that sort of thing there's sharing in the expenses related to adoption. This is how Christians should be taking care of one another. And there are beautiful stories out there every day. There are cancer treatments that are cost, hundreds of thousands of dollars that are shared every day. That's how Christians can rely on each other.
Exactly. And here we are on the verge of a, quite a revolutionary decision, one that many of us have been praying for a long time regarding Roe v. Wade coming out of the Supreme Court. And in many cases, healthcare sharing has been there with young girls and women who are pregnant. And clearly, as you said, healthcare sharing promotes a life solution, do they not?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. We want to be there for families that are dealing with this, whether it's with their daughters or their sisters. But it's really important that your money doesn't go toward procedures that violate God's law. That's so critical. We can't be part of the abortion industry. We can't subsidize it. And yet so many of us are doing so when we pay those premiums to insurance companies. We're paying for the procedures of other people that we would never agree with and that violate God's law. And so, I've been working in the pro-life movement for many years, and this is, I can't even believe that we're on the cusp of this. I hope to God it actually happens. We have to pray every day. Yes. It's clear that, the devil doesn't want this to happen. It's clear that there are forces working against it. So, we're praying every day. But even then, it's just the end of the beginning, right? I mean, we have to work. Now the battle is 50 states. So
exactly.
We have to keep fighting.
Well, Katie Toleno is with us, Executive Director of the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries, announcing earlier this incredible Healthcare Sharing Accreditation Board, which comes with standards. So Healthcare Sharing Ministries, who want to have the approval and the seal of approval from the Accreditation Board, they have got to meet specific standards, don't they, Katie?
They do, yes. You know, we have to be good stewards, and so the Accreditation Board will be looking at an extensive set of standards related to legal structure and governance, religious identity, whether you're actually a religious organization or just a front group pretending, certainly how your sharing process works. Does it happen in a timely fashion? Is it happening according to the written guidelines that you present to members? Are you explaining to members well that this is not insurance and how exactly it works and really what they should be able to expect? Are you spending too much money on overhead, or is the vast majority of the membership money going to other members' medical needs? Do you have audited financial statements? Are you following the IRS requirements for nonprofit organizations? You know, how are you describing yourself in the media? If you have radio ads, if you have digital marketing ads, are you describing the policies and the procedures of the organization well? Are you being misleading? You know, are you trying to lure in people who just to make money, or is there truly a community of religious believers? So all these types of issues, the conflicts of interest, an independent board that governs the organization, basically just good governance, good stewardship.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's what we want.
How will the consumer, people of faith, be able to identify healthcare sharing ministries that comply?
That's great. So they should look for it on the ministry's website. This isn't quite yet. This board has just been stood up, and they are receiving applications. They have one ministry has already sent their application. There are at least two or three others that are in the process of doing so. So in the next few months, I would expect that you can start to look for the accreditation seal of approval on the ministry's website. You can also, I presume there will be this organization is separate from the Alliance, right? We wanted it to be independent of the ministry, so I don't control them, but, I presume they will have a website that you can Google and look up and see the list of ministries that have been accredited. And of course you can ask any ministry that you're calling and you're exploring about whether to join, or if you're already in one, ask them if they've been accredited.
Well, I would think that they would have some sort of identifying logo, you know, some sort of seal that would come with anything on their website or any kind of printed material as well. This would seem, you know, something that would be, you know, fairly academic and consistent with how, you know, like the Good Housekeeping seal of approval, how different
exactly.
businesses and organizations were identified. You say in addition to the standards, you've got this is going to help policymakers and regulators, other stakeholders, and especially members of the public who are exploring joining a healthcare sharing ministry to be able to readily identify these organizations, right?
That's exactly right. So we certainly are going to be educating more and more legislators and policymakers about this new opportunity for them to be able to suss out the good guys from the pretenders. And that's really important. Otherwise, you know, they're going to feel inclined to try to regulate us. In fact, some of them have already tried to regulate us as insurance, which is bizarre and inappropriate.
Right.
It's a violation of religious liberty.
Yes, exactly. Katie, is there any place they can go for more information and be up to date on how this continues to develop?
Yes, you can go to our website, which is the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries. It's the initials of our name, www.ahcsm.org.
AHCSM.org. That is where you need to go for more information and stay up to date with all that's happening with the Alliance Health Care Sharing Ministries and this new accreditation board. Katie, thank you so much for being with us. God bless.
My pleasure. God bless you and your listeners.
Do you love driving, but you hate your expensive car payment? Open Road Lending can reduce your current car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. Yes, it's easy to refinance your current car payment and save up to $100 a month. Could you use an extra $100 a month? Then make this call to Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your current car payment. It's easy, only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. You can do it all from the comfort of your home. Call today and see how much you can save.
800-511-6223. 800-511-6223. That's 800-511-6223. Call now. 800-511-6223.
Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Center for Immigration Studies is reporting new data from the Census Bureau and the Bureau of Labor Statistics show that U.S. illegal immigration population in the United States has surged 10%, growing from 10.2 million to 11.6 million under the leadership of President Biden. Four people were killed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Wednesday after a gunman who was later found dead opened fire at the Natalie Medical Building on the campus of St. Francis Hospital. Tulsa Police Deputy Chief Eric Douglas.
We have four civilians that are dead. We have one shooter that is dead. And right now, we believe that is self-inflicted.
After more than two decades as a Silicon Valley power player, Sheryl Sandberg, chief operating officer at Meta, also known as Facebook, is stepping down. USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, and we've got Dr. George Barna back with us. We've been talking about pastors holding to a biblical worldview, but it's time to take a look at which denominations pastors are least likely to hold to a biblical worldview. Dr. George Barna, always great to have you with us. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thank you, Bill.
So as you continue to break this down, we're going to take a look at denominations with this study, right?
Well, we'll look at groups of denominations. We weren't looking at specific denominations per se.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what did you find? Break it down for us.
Well, when we look at all Christian pastors, as we talked about before, less than 4 out of 10, just 37% have biblical worldview. Denominationally, or in terms of families of denominations, it's actually quite different. The types of churches that are most likely to have a pastor with a biblical worldview are non-denominational and independent Christian churches, where we found that close to 6 out of 10, which is still low, but it's the highest among all the denominational families, 57% have a biblical worldview. Just following that were evangelical Protestant churches, where you had half, 51%, of the pastors in those churches with a biblical worldview, and then it fell below half when you went to charismatic and Pentecostal churches, where about a third of them, 37% of those pastors have a biblical worldview, even lower among the mainline Protestant churches at 32%, lower still among the holiness group of churches, where 28% of the pastors of those congregations have a biblical worldview, and the lowest of all were the traditionally black Protestant churches, where less than 1 out of 10 of those pastors, just 9%, have a biblical worldview, and the lowest of all the ones that we looked at were Roman Catholic churches, where 6% of Catholic priests currently have a biblical worldview.
Wow, there's so much that stands out on this. I mean, right away, I mean, first of all, we look at the general number, and you're seeing about you know, 1 and 2 overall. But when you look at charismatic and Pentecostal at 37%, that sticks out. A tradition of black Protestants at 9%, Roman Catholic at 6%. This is incredible. I mean, what is going on here, George?
Well, we've gotten to a place in our culture where the culture influences the church more than the church influences the culture. So what you have are pastors whose, you know, gauge of success doesn't have to do with biblical fidelity. It has to do with popularity. It has to do with growth. It has to do with a lot of other issues that are things that Jesus did not die on the cross for. And so when we look at, yes, are we teaching his truth? Are we teaching his principles? That typically is not one of the gauges of success in our churches.
Well, the Catholic Church, of course, went to the headlines this past week once again in having the debate in public whether or not Nancy Pelosi should receive communion. And we say Nancy Pelosi, I mean, even the president is under that indictment as well. Of course, the Archbishop of D.C. said, hey, not a problem. But yet in San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi's home church archbishop said, I just can't. In good conscience, I cannot serve you Holy Communion because of your repeated stance for abortion.
Yeah, you know, and you have to give that priest credit for standing for something. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sure he stands for a lot. I don't mean that as a derogatory statement, but, you know, kudos to him for saying, mm-hmm. look, we've got to draw the line somewhere. If we're going to preach about sin, and by the way, other studies we've done show that most pastors and priests don't preach about sin, but if we are going to claim that sin is real, that sin is impactful, that sin is negative, that we need to do something about it, and that the church stands for purity, it stands for holiness, it stands for righteousness, it stands for biblical principles, then we can't just turn a blind eye to people who literally preach that, yes, it's okay to murder unborn children.
Exactly.
Yes, it's okay to wed, you know, men and men and women together. These are things that break God's law, and we cannot stand here and just turn our head to the other side and say, yeah, well, we're really not going to stand up for what we claim is important.
And people intrinsically understand this, George. This is why they're leaving in masses out of these churches, because they are not in alignment with their own conscience that God has given them. And they know instinctively that there's incongruity here. And it's bothersome. And at a time when they need the church to hold the line, when they see a culture that is unraveling right before their eyes, that their kids are being victimized about it, that the next generation, their grandchildren even, are going to be subject to this great compromise, this is quite the threat. And even more so, you would think the leaders of these churches who basically have hijacked what Jesus has intended and to come up with their own idea of church. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm not sure I want to be around for that judgment. Do you?
Well, no, absolutely not. And I think it's interesting. Clearly, we're living in a time of confusion, where most Americans now have bought into the lie that there is no absolute moral truth. But what that's done is that that creates a cognitive dissonance within us, where on the one hand, we're dealing with what God has planted in our hearts in terms of truth and righteousness. We're comparing that to what the culture says, which is do whatever feels good, whatever seems right in your own eyes. And so there's a lack of clarity. Now, who's called to stand in the gap there? Leaders. Those leaders who stand up for God, for Christ, the scriptures, i.e. pastors. But then we look at this research, and what we find is that pastors may not be quite as confused or quite as likely to be confused as the typical adult in America, but we see that clearly a majority of pastors are willing to side with their emotions rather than they are to side with God's truth. And that's what continues this confusion in our culture. when our leaders stand up and say, don't worry about it, just run with your feelings. Whatever you feel at the moment, that's what you've got to work with, as opposed to, no, let's go with that still small voice that's crying out within you to follow God's way. You know, we've got a very serious choice to make, and we're now sadly at a place where we cannot trust most church leaders to give us guidance in this time of darkness.
Well, it's going back to what you said earlier. This is why you don't hear from the pulpit any sermons on sin when the leader of the church is compromised himself. I know that may sound like a broad brush statement, but, you know, we read studies all the time, George, where you've got a third of the senior pastors involved with pornography. And the number one time that they're most involved with pornography of all times is Sunday. They can go to church all day Sunday, preach the Word of God, and then Sunday night they're in front of their computers viewing down pornography, is what one study indicated. I mean, boy, when you have that kind of compromise going on, as you said earlier, you know, we're reflecting the culture. We're not influencing the culture, which God called us to do. Well, I'll tell you, this is... I mean, these pastors have to really consider, again, in the book of Revelation, as Jesus was walking through the lampstand, what color lampstand? Where do you stand in that assessment of those seven churches today? Because that indictment and that evaluation still has, it still has merit even today, does it not?
It does. You know, Bill, one of the things this reminds me of is when I look throughout scriptures, what we find is that there were religious leaders throughout history
Yes.
who have really compromised God's truth. And so to me, it's a reminder that, yes, I can learn things from pastors, and I want to, and I want them to encourage me and to hold me accountable to go to a better place spiritually. But ultimately, that responsibility rests on my shoulders. Someday, you know, judgment day, I'm not going to be able to turn to God and say, well, don't blame me. My pastor got it wrong.
It's that pastor. It's that pastor you gave me. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Dr. George after this.
Are you tired of paying hundreds of dollars or more every month for your family's health benefits? Would you pay as little as $10 a week to save more money on your health care visits? You'll save on dental care, chiropractic visits, telehealth visits, vision care, medical lab work, and much, much more. All of this for one low fee of around $40 a month for your entire family. Ameriplan has been providing Americans with fantastic discount health plans for 30 years. Have access to a quarter of a million high-quality health providers. Even if you have health insurance, you need to have an Ameriplan discount health plan. And again, for less than $40 a month, your entire family is covered. Best thing you can do is make a free call right now and learn about how our Platinum plan can help you with your health care needs for as low as $40 a month. 800-781-7641. 800-781-7641. 800-781-7641. That's 800-781-7641.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Dr. George Barna continues with us. He is the professor at Arizona Christian University, the president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU. And George, you were exactly right as you were finishing up the first segment. You know, that we go back to the Garden of Eden. You know, God holds us to be responsible. And it's silly to think that we could point to somebody else and say, well, you know, it wasn't me. It's that pastor that doesn't hold to a biblical worldview. It's his fault, right?
Yeah, and Bill, when I look at this research, one of the things that it says to me is that each of us as followers of Jesus need to be always on the lookout for clues about those people who say that they are our leaders, who want to teach us from the Bible. What kind of clues? Well, when I look at the data that we have from these studies, one of the things that did blow me away is that the category of worldview information for which pastors are least likely to be thinking and acting consistently biblical relates to beliefs and activities about Bible, truth, and morality. Mm. Now, to me, this is the heart of what the Christian faith is about. Believing that the Bible is true, that it's reliable, that it's relevant, knowing that truth is embodied by God, and it matters so much to him that he made sure that we have this document, the Bible, that conveys absolute truths to us, and that the way that we apply those is when we make decisions about what's right and wrong, when we look at things like life and marriage and family and so forth. And so when I see that the category for which pastors of all denominations across the country, of all different pastoral levels, from senior pastor to, you know, children's youth pastors, when I see that that's the category they're most likely to not understand and therefore not teach truth, that tells me I've got to be hyper-vigilant about what kind of church I'm going to allow myself to be influenced by, what kind of radio ministries, television ministries, parachurch ministries, books, all of these things that have influence on my thinking about God's ways. I've got to be more careful than ever because there's perhaps more distortion out there within the church than we've experienced for centuries and centuries.
You know, George, Bible truth and morality is like the cultural trinity that people of faith should hold to. I mean, first of all, you know, starting with the Word of God, Jesus himself said, it's not by food, but every word that, you know, comes from the mouth of God, that's what gives me life. That's what I live off of. I mean, the Bible is so critical that Jesus, the Son of God, would give us that declaration, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I also tell people is, look, maybe what you need to do if you're kind of wrestling with all this and you're saying, but I don't know that I believe the research. I mean, how could pastors have it wrong? Well, then maybe it's time for you and me and all of us to get back to basics, to go back and see if we can persuade ourselves, based on what we know about the Bible, that the Bible is true, it is reliable, it is relevant, it is accurate, it is the cornerstone on which to which we need to turn to get truth into our mind and heart and soul. And what I know is that most Americans, based on other research we've been doing, really don't know what the argument is for why can we trust the Bible. How do we know that it's real and that it's right? Why should I trust the Bible more than I should trust Nancy Pelosi? You know, why should I trust the Bible more than I would trust Joe Biden? I mean, he has, you know, the office of the president. So maybe he knows. You know, I mean, we've got, they sound like stupid questions to some people. But for a lot of Americans, that's what they're wrestling with. Who do I trust? Why do I trust them? How do I know what's right? And so to be able to make that argument where we can at least persuade ourselves that God's word is truth, it needs to be at the center of how we make our decisions. That's a really critical point for us to come to.
Well, like you said, we can also evaluate through experience. I mean, case in point, Roe v. Wade. Look what's coming out right now. I mean, the people wanted to believe because it was convenient for them. They wanted to live life according to their own eyes, and they bought into a huge lie from the Supreme Court, from an institution that was supposed to embody truth. And what did they do? They sold themselves out for a political interest, and 63 million plus babies later that have died because of that decision and the heartbreak that particularly women have been subjected to, the amount of suicide as a result of going against truth, George. I mean, we need to, as you said, you look at the fruit of these decisions, the fruit of these leaders, and you've got to be discerning, especially in these times that we were warned about, right?
Yeah, and let's not lose sight of the fact that when Jesus talked about discipleship, he said there's three marks of a disciple. You will be my disciple when you obey my teaching. So you got to know it before you can obey it. But then you have to be willful. It's a volitional choice that you're making to actually do what Jesus taught. Secondly, he said you'll be my disciples when you love each other. And so how are we behaving toward others? Are we helping them to obey? Are we helping them to know? Thirdly, he talked about, and you will be my disciples when you produce spiritual fruit. And so just as you're talking about, okay, let's look at how we are responding to the issues of the day, whether it's LGBTQ issues, whether it's abortion, whether it's, you know, Ten Commandments kind of stuff, lying, stealing, cheating, lusting, all of these things. We've got to go back to that and remember that, you know what, in our culture today, we don't even believe that there is such a thing as a lie.
Yes.
Why? Because we don't believe that there's truth. And if there's no truth, how can there be something that's false? And so this is why it's so critical. We get back to God's word. We know what it teaches, why it teaches it, what it looks like in practice, what kind of a person it makes us, what kind of choices we make as a result of that. Because that's the only way that we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, according to his own definition, where we know and obey, we love and we produce fruit.
Exactly. And here we are in the same position as Pilate, this culture today, standing in front of the Son of God and saying, what is truth? We've lost our way so much so that we've lost that foundational principle of what truth is, George.
Absolutely true. And, you know, one of the things that I'd love for people to keep in mind is if you're thinking, wow, well, then I really need to get my child to church so they'll learn these things. I mean, when we find that only one out of every eight children's and youth ministers have a biblical worldview, that says to me as a parent that there's a huge probability that bringing my child to church is not going to help them to know God's truth. we've got to be very careful about the choices that we make. Simply saying, yeah, but I brought my kid to church, I can't be responsible for what happened. No, we are completely responsible.
What's the same thing is happening in our secular schools? You know, we send our kids to school thinking they're going to be educated in a way, and now we're finding out, thank you very much, COVID, by the way, boy, the kids were being indoctrinated with things that were, you know, the furthest thing from what we believe to be proper education. So it's no surprise, as you said, again, the culture is influencing every aspect of our life, including the church today, so it's no wonder. And speaking of these youth pastors, I think you and I talked about it the last time, is that they are downline of a system, of an organization that promotes this compromised worldview. So it's no wonder that our churches with the youth pastors are, you know, carrying out the commandments of these institutions that have modified the Word of God and have become so woke sensitive.
Yeah, and so for each of us, I mean, this is hard to listen to, I know, but we're in a place in history where, in God's providence, He's chosen to place us in this point in time where submission, surrender, and sacrifice are absolutely critical for us. They're uncomfortable. It's not something that we want to gear ourselves to, but that's what we need at this moment in history. And so that's going to be one of the delineators as to whether or not we are truly disciples of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Are we willing to submit to His agenda? Are we willing to surrender everything to follow Him and His ways? Are we willing to sacrifice whatever we have in order to do what's right in His eyes? It's going to be uncomfortable, but that's the only way to go.
And George, to your point, I mean, the book of Ecclesiastes says there's a time and season. And right now, exactly just as you said, this is our appointed time. So what will we stand for? Will we stand for the things that are holy and righteous and good and noble, those things that are that God said, look, at if you do right, will it not go well for you? Will this be the legacy that we'll pass on to the next generation? We got a minute left. I'm going to leave it to you. Go ahead.
Well, you know, and just following up on that, I mean, one of the things that strikes me is that, as Queen Esther, you know, in the book of Esther talked about, you know, we are here for such a time as this. We are not here for such a time as this simply to cave in, to go along, to get along. We are here for such a time as this to be different, to show what it looks like to be Jesus in a dying, decaying, declining culture. And so we have the opportunity to help people find joy through living for God like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit at such a time as this. Thank you, God, for giving us that privilege. But man, give us the strength to do it.
Amen. He's a professor at Arizona Christian University, president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU, Dr. George Barna. George, God bless you, my friend. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety?